Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder like we do every single motherfucking day.
Yeah, man, it's exciting stuff to be able to talk about this Thunder team. We've got some big things to talk about. We've got a game tomorrow night. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Oklahoma time. That will be pretty exciting to see. We play against Salt Lake City. I've seen Isaiah Roby on a couple pictures that he is actually out on the court playing, so there's hopeful that he'll be back for this next game. This will be exciting to see. I'm always a big fan of when we get a chance to play against Utah. I know they're really, really good this year, but we always seem to play up when we play against them, so this will be a very exciting game.
Yeah, we're pumped up about the game, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us for The Last Storm. Here we go. Now, the Jazz just finished a game against the Wizards, and they play against us tomorrow night, but they actually lost to the Wizards 125-121. So, tomorrow night, it's us against the Jazz, so that's a back-to-back game. That, you know, obviously means the Jazz are going to come out with trying to correct their mistakes and avoid a two-game losing streak. Obviously, we are going to have our hands full against them, but now I feel like they're going to have even more to prove, so that's something to look out for.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. This Utah Jazz team is clicking on all cylinders right now. They have been all year. It's going to be exciting to see what they have. I know they've lost a few games here and there, but they consistently show that they're one of the team's best teams in the league right now. It will be exciting to see what ends up happening for sure in that game tomorrow. You know, I cannot reiterate how excited I am about this team and the roster that we've been able to have. It's really been fun to be able to see Bazley come back last game, Dort come back last game. Just a really exciting squad of guys. You know, Mark, I'm hearing a lot of different rumors about Gabriel Deck. Do you know anything about this guy, if he's playing this year or next year? It looks like he's been added to our roster. I don't know what that means, though.
Yeah, my understanding is he's going to be playing this year. I'm not sure when. I think they'll give him some practice time, but maybe not. You know, some players haven't really been practicing that much before they get into games, but I do believe he'll be playing this year.
Nice, nice. So that'll be exciting to see the type of talent that Sam was able to get there. I know there's still some rumors and rumblings about Oklahoma City Thunder being able to sign the player that they were also able to get added on to the Al Horford and Green trade. So that will be interesting to see if they can sign that player as well. He is a guard in the EuroLeague. That will be fun to be able to see there. I've just been really stoked about just the way the quality of minutes that each of these players have been playing. I know that losing as many games as we have in a row is really frustrating, and I understand that. There's nothing fun about that. But seeing how these guys play when they're playing against incredibly hard competition and the way they have been playing is very uplifting. I get really excited about Tony Bradley, and especially the game that he played against the Sixers that he used to play for. It's just really exciting. And then he has a game against the Jazz, who the Jazz are the team that he started his career with. I do think he has a unique way of stepping up to the competition when he has a connection to them. So definitely look for Tony Bradley tomorrow against Utah to step up.
Yeah, he played for the Jazz for a few years and for the Sixers, you know, only for 1 year, I believe. So this is, you know, he has a lot more connections with Utah. I think that's going to be interesting to see how he plays. I'm excited about this whole team. Coming up after the Utah game, we play the Warriors. It's a back-to-back. It goes Jazz, Warriors, and for a little while, the Warriors looked like a totally winnable game, and it may still be winnable. We really haven't seen too much of Dort guarding Steph. I think that's a matchup that we got to watch out for. But if Steph is playing like he's been playing, you know, there's reason to say that, you know, it's probably not a winnable game without SGA in the lineup. But after those two games, then we're going to get to a point where for most of the rest of the month, you know, it's winnable games after winnable games. And the level of defensive intensity that Dort brought and the offensive energy and shot-making ability that Bazley brought, that was really great to see. some of the other players have settled back into their roles and have, you know, I think one sign of a really great team is players who are stars in their roles, right? And having players like Ty Jerome and Kenny Hustle become stars in their roles, and I think giving them starter minutes for so long was important. And yes, it was a frustrating time to watch us lose games by so many points, but the truth is, if we didn't see players like Teo and Poku have such remarkable games, and like you said, Tony Bradley, and us, you know, have incredible things going on, then, you know, it would have probably been a waste. But when we get to see all those happening, all those special things happening, it's really worth it, you know. And you never know what you're going to get, but last game we had was the youngest starting lineup in the NBA history. So that's the second time we've set that record in a row. Not in a row, but within a few weeks of each other. So that's something to keep in mind. Like, you get to see a lot of this special stuff happening. And, you know, that's what it's all about at this point, is continuing to watch this team grow. And we never know what's going to happen. You know, and we're looking forward to getting SGA back. We're looking forward to getting Roby back and Josh Hall back too.
Yeah, man. And let's just go through that injury list since you brought that up. Josh Hall is out for Tuesday's game with a concussion protocol. Mike Muscala is out for Tuesday game against Utah with an ankle still. Isaiah Roby is out against Utah concussion. He is listed day to day. So just knowing that ahead of time will be interesting to see. It says he's out, but there was a little time that ESPN had him rated as day-to-day, so I'm interested to see if this is a recent or whatever. But Poku is day-to-day. He is out against Utah as well. His arm is hurting. And then the one person that we just talked about is Gabriel Deck. He is out. They're calling him day-to-day, not injured-related, is listed out for Tuesday's game. So that does prove that I think we have intent of playing him this year, which is exciting because that's something that we need to be able to see. Again, this will be really, really interesting to see how this all pans out. We're sitting, I mean, I understand what a lot of people are saying and the aspect of we're sitting at that fifth spot or a few games out of that fifth spot. But you just have to remember right now is we're also only, you know, five games out of that play-in spot too. And Golden State's not playing well. You know, they're off and on, I should say, playing well. They played 3-7 in the last 10. Pelicans are 3-7 in the last 10. You know, we have the Golden State Warriors there, 6-4. They're playing okay. But San Antonio is 4-6. These teams are really struggling as well as us. So when we finally get things rolling again, there's an opportunity for us to jump some people, some serious people. I do think that we have every intentions of bringing SGA back whenever he's ready and ready to play. I do not know about Mike Muscala. I have no idea what's going on with that, but definitely stay tuned with that. We'll keep an eye on that very closely.
And as we're talking right now, you mentioned the Warriors aren't playing well, but here's the thing about the Warriors. When Steph is playing, they're playing well, and that's all it takes for them right now. And he's been playing after not being playing for a little while, but right now they're playing, and there's 2 minutes and 22 seconds left in the third quarter, and Steph has 45 points, and the Warriors are leading the Nuggets by 9 points. So I'm pretty sure he's into a special game right now. I don't know if it's going to be enough to win the game, but it's enough to be getting it done right now. And we have to play the Warriors in two nights. So obviously, we're going to be seeing a really, really good version of Steph if he plays. I assume he will. They need wins right now. And we're going to be seeing Dort, hopefully. He's ready to play back-to-backs. And that's what I'm excited about seeing. You know, not every game is all about getting the wins right now. We compete, play hard, we want to win games, and we want to cheer for this team to win. But it's about development. It's about Poku and Teo getting 25 in the same game. It's about watching Dort and Steph go at it. You know, this is about development. This is about this team getting better and about players being put in positions to succeed. And what we've said this whole season is it's okay to cheer for this team to win. It's okay to cheer for the Thunder to be successful and to cheer for the players. You don't have to feel bad if you want to see us win games. And that's just something that's in stark contrast to the other podcasts who believe the only way to show that you're a true fan is to cheer for this team to lose.
Yeah, and that's why Mark and I are here. You know, we don't think it's ever okay to cheer for your team to lose. It doesn't matter, regardless of the situation, regardless of anything, cheering for your team to lose is a punk move. It's something that it's embarrassing to see that these other podcasts are okay with it. I understand the fans. They understand. I understand that they're getting stuck in the analytics of things and the possibilities, but these ideas would have never been here if it wasn't for these podcasts and the Oklahoma City Thunder media. And that's why Mark and I are here. That's why we're speaking against it. And that's why it's to us, it's important for this team to do well. And it's important for this team to be able to cheer for this team every year and look at the positive things and not get stuck on the negative things. And if you say, oh yeah, well, the other podcasts are positive as well. But the reality is those podcasts spent an entire 10 games talking trash about Poku. 10 games. He played 17 games before going to the G League. And one of the guys that is often a contributor of one of the podcasts said, thank God he's off the team. Like, to me, like, this is the type of guys that are leading these guys, the fan base. And that's what's going on here. And that's why Mark and I are passionate about making sure that everybody knows that you can cheer for this team and it's okay to cheer for.
Yeah, we call those people village idiots. And like we like to say here, there's a whole village full of idiots, and it's a big village. And these are the people who really think that they're helping the team by cheering for the team to lose or by criticizing the 19-year-old rookies. Yeah, we all saw it. Poku wasn't playing great. But in the end, when you looked at what the tape and you recognized that he had all the tools, but he wasn't putting it together, then you were willing to give him space. But when people just sat there and criticized him because he made a blooper, well, it's like, I don't know. It's the NBA. That shit happens. It's hard to play against people who are that big and strong and fast and play with that level of intensity. It throws you off, and it's supposed to throw you off. If he could show up and be successful at 19, then it wasn't the top league. And watching his progression has been really special. We can go through all the players and talk about how much we love watching them progress. And yeah, it was a struggle. And it's still going to be a struggle without SGA. But we have a high hope about where this team can go. And we think learning to play without the stars is a big part of that process.
Yeah, man. No doubt about that. And flipping the script a little bit, let's go ahead and bring up one of our recent reviews. This is a special review to Mark and I, definitely. This is from a Dog Fan 20. Have no idea who that is. And he writes, terrible. Imagine actually being this ignorant about basketball and to be insanely weird on top of it. The dude has even made a bunch of fake accounts to give his podcast good reviews. And I want to address that because to me, it's funny. All of our podcasts, most of our good reviews have names. You can all look them up. We're not trying to fake give us good reviews at all. I understand, whatever. It doesn't matter. I understand this guy has issues. He said, don't listen. It's seriously bad. They talk like they have marbles in their mouth and don't pass speech class. You know what, Dog Fan 20? You're absolutely right. I spent a lot of my years in speech therapy when I was younger, learning how to talk. In fact, one time I did have to learn how to talk with marbles in my mouth. So I do appreciate you pointing that out. You are our fan of Not the Game. And I just want to say there is a special place for you, even though I did really enjoy reading your review about us. Because honestly, the fact is, the whole idea of having fake accounts giving us good reviews is ridiculous, because the reality is if you look at all of our negative reviews, nobody has a name on any of them that's real. They're all fake because they're all produced by one podcast, and it's a podcast that we don't like to talk about at all. And that's okay with us. They think it's funny to give us negative, horrible reviews, and they have given us a lot of them, and we're definitely down with that. But the reality is that this is another one that has proven our point that we are actually right, that we have very positive reviews from real live people, while they continue to give us negative reviews from fake accounts. He's the one that pointed it out. So thank you, Dog Fan 20, for continuing to put out fake reviews about us from fake accounts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you want other than them spending their time to come at us in this way. At least it was creative. A lot of them are just repeating the same old bullshit. So I'm appreciative of it. I'm happy that people are still paying attention to us. I mean, let's face it, it's been a tough stretch. We've lost, I believe, 7 games in a row. We haven't won a game this month yet. 6 games in a row. We haven't won a game this month yet. And a lot of people are starting to celebrate as if their predictions of where this team was going and Sam Presti's intentions are true simply because we had a rash of injuries. Now they're trying to say that all of this was intentional to make this team fail. And we understand it. That's their prerogative. They were saying that stuff at the beginning of the year. And we're just here to say that it's wrong. You know, this team is doing well, and the reason it's doing well is on purpose. You know, not everybody agrees with us about this team doing well. And I understand that. If you look at it, you know, compared to what we've done in the past, it's not as good as what we've been in the past. But considering the circumstances, this team is exceeding expectations, and I don't know what else you want. You want a group of underdogs who come out and perform, you know, with a next man up mentality, and you see your superstar go out with injury and they continue to fight. You know, that's what I want to see. So this team is giving us that, and for that reason, I call it a great year. I don't really look at the record as being indicative of how good of a year we're having, and I really believe that, you know, if we had been at full strength, you know, over the last 6 games, we would have really gone through, you know, we could have won about half of those, and we'd be in a different situation. And now that, you know, we have a chance of getting back to full strength and the schedule has some weakness to it, we could get on a little bit of a run here and win a few games in a row. You never know where that's going to lead. But in the end, it speaks to management's intentions of not trying to hurt this team's chances to win games, but to enable them to compete.
Yeah, and I think we're at 19 or 20 games left. The reality is that in order for us to win and get to the play-in, we're going to have to go on an incredible run. You know, Mark and I both believe that this is completely possible, but the reality is that we're probably looking at a different scenario. We're probably looking at this team competing to the very end. What that means, I have no idea, but it would be really amazing if this team can pull off half of go 500 the rest of the season. I don't know if they have what it takes, especially going losing 9 of the last 10 games, but I do have faith that this team is going to do something special. We have 3 games against Sacramento. Highlight those games because if we're still trailing Sacramento at that point, there's an opportunity for us to pull ahead of them. You know, this is not what the tankers want to see. That is okay with us. We still think that this team has a chance to compete. And if Sam Presti has an eye on somebody in the draft, which we will be getting to at the end of the season when the Thunder season ends, is we're going to start talking because we'll know where their draft pick lies. And we're going to start talking and debating exactly what players we think are going to be there. So this will be exciting to see how the Oklahoma City Thunder press to the playoffs or press to compete at least in the last 20 games of the season.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about a fun way to break up those upcoming draft picks, and I thought, you know, with what we saw Sam Presti do in the last draft, he went for the youngest players available. You know, we should break up the draft into, you know, go youngest players available and figure it out that way. We may not do that, but I think that'd be kind of fun because in all likelihood, we'll probably stumble along the person that Presti eyes pretty fast in the process if we just simply go youngest available. But
just,
yeah, I mean,
just follow the yellow brick road, bro.
Yeah, right. For sure. We play a lot of the same teams coming up multiple times. And like the Jazz, we play them twice coming up. We've got the Kings 3 times, like you mentioned. We have the Warriors 3 times, the Pacers and the Wizards twice. So a lot of these teams we see twice. So I think that's a really good sign. That's going to be able to show us a lot of progression. And we're looking for this team to continue to improve. we're really excited about all the minutes we've gotten from so many of the players. And knowing that we've seen them expand into those roles, like I said earlier, becoming stars in your roles, That's what we're looking for, and that's what we're excited about seeing. And so that's why we continue to watch these games, because we know that in the end, this matters. This is not a bunch of players who won't be with the team in the future. This team has been rebuilt, and it's not like, done. We're not talking about a finished process, but we are going to build through the draft. We have a lot of picks coming up, and we're going to see where that takes us. But having these players, like Dave said in the last episode, that have come along and are, critical role players in the system, means that we can pick the best available player, or the best, the player with the best long-term future, and not necessarily just pick the player that fits our needs. And that's a really critical spot to be in when you have as many draft picks as we do.
Yeah, and again, like I said last episode, just talking about Sam Presti in the past, I feel like he's drafted for what our needs are meant. Like, okay, we have a weakness at a shooting guard or a small forward position. So he goes out and he spends a couple drafts trying to address that. I don't think that this is what we're talking about. This team has been built incredibly solid all the way around. So like Mark said, when we go out and pick up a player from the draft, it's going to be the best player available. It's going to be the best player available for the best potential long term. Obviously, we've passed up on a bunch of really great players in the NBA playing right now. But you look at Bazley and Bazley's potential. He's only 20 years old, and the playing time that he's had is invaluable. Like, he's going to be able to be one of those players that we all look back in the past and be like, how did we not see that he could be this type of player? Like, Mark and I already feel like he's going to be a future all-star in the NBA. But the reality is that we have no idea how his game is going to transform. So that's why Mark and I are excited about watching the basics of what's happening and breaking down all that stuff, because when it all happens and all gets put together, it's going to be like, that's what we've been seeing, and it won't be a surprise. And that's why we encourage all of our listeners to listen and watch the games as much as possible, because this is the foundation blocks to the next 10 years to this team.
And that's what we're pumped up about watching and sharing with you, is this team continuing to improve and the future, coming to life right in front of us. So thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. We'll be back tomorrow after the Jazz game to recap what happened. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thunder up.